This is the interview with Loretto Thurgood at Yaguna, it's the 20th of July 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Loretto, where were you born?
I was born in Bedford Street, Newtown, on the Saturday, at 1 p.m. on Saturday the 12th of July 1919.
And did you grow up in Newtown?
No, that was my grandmother and grandfather Ferguson's home, and we lived there until I was around about seven, and then my parents moved to Union Street, Erskineville. We lived in three houses in Union Street. Firstly, in Erskineville, as to explain that Union Street is the border. On one side it's Newtown, the other side it's Erskineville. Firstly, we lived on the Union in Erskineville, more up towards Erskineville Road. And we had a little cottage with an attic, and the attic was my bedroom. That's where my brother Kenneth was born, there. Then we moved across the street, and that would, I don't know for what reasons why we left that, the second house, but we moved down the street and my brother Ronald was born there. And I was 9 years older than Kenneth, who's deceased, and I'm 13 years older than Ronald, and he lives in Adelaide at present. I went to Australia School Street School when I first started school, and I've got some funny memories of that. It's still an old-fashioned school. It's right in Australia Street, and it had a big black playground which had an immense peppercorn tree. And the thing I remember most of that school was the kindergarten room, which had a little Dolly's Corner, which had a doll's house with a picket fence, and an immense big rocking horse, which the boys used to get on, wouldn't let us on it, and they were always pirates or dashing cavaliers at that age. But when we left and went to live in Erskineville, I went to Norfolk Street School, and from there I went to Newtown Primary School, and then because my parents couldn't afford for me to go further, I spent first and second year in Newtown School, which is now the a performing arts school. I had my parents. We were never rich. Let's face that. We were just. My father was a sign writer and coach painter. His father was a painter. And he used to do a lot of good work. I suppose you want me to tell him where he worked. He worked for James McMahon and Company in Redfern. And he did the work on their trucks, did all the sign writing and the coach painting on their trucks. He also did work for Sanders Sutton and Whiteheads, and he painted the first Pantechnicon to come into Australia, which was showed at the Royal Show. I remember that distinctly because I had a new dress for that, and it was champagne georgette with lace around the top and a new pair of ankle strap shoes and that. So I remember that very distinctly. My father was a small man. He was a very quiet man in lots of things. It was unfortunate that a man that had his talents had to suffer so much he was, and eventually he went blind. In those days, you didn't buy prepaid paints. The only thing that came prepaid was the paint, was the gold leaf, which they did in a special way on some of the work. He had... Unfortunately, like everybody else, the Depression hit us when the banks failed. And there was not only people like my father, but everybody else except those that had a government job suffered. I developed my grandmother moved from Newtown to Undercliff, and I developed whooping cough. So as I was having treatment at the Quay Street Hospital, it was then part of the Children's Hospital, I was able to see firsthand just what happened. Men used to have to go to the Benevolent Society in Quay Street to get one paper signed. And then they had to walk right down George Street to a wharf to have it re-signed again. Then they came back. And on a Monday, you got groceries, bread and meat, very few vegetables. And if you wanted eggs, you could only get eggs on a special form. And that had to do you till Thursday. My mother was a very thrifty woman. She handled all the finances in our house. Even my brothers and I, nobody dared take their pay envelope home unless Mum had it first. So you couldn't open it to buy even yourself an ice cream. It was sad that those, I've seen children, well, I didn't see them, but my mother seen them, starving that they pulled the middle out of hot bread. But it wasn't only just people in Erskineville that was suffered. It was people all over, you know, and that a lot of people were evicted from homes because they couldn't pay rent. And that's how Happy Valley at Maroubra was formed, that little bay. People went out there and built shacks. My father, as I said, took to doing show cards. And he'd make these cards and he'd walk all over Sydney. And the main purpose was that, was to get the money to pay the rent and the bill. There was very little electricity in houses, mainly lights were gas. And you cooked on a stove or a fuel stove and that. And I always had fond memories of my grandma's kitchen because it was immense and it had this immense big stove and the big wooden copper and everything. So it was always children's dreams. And that.
What are your very earliest memories when you were living in Newtown? What are your first memories?
My early memories in Newtown was the times we used to get taken to the school balls and everything. I think we went to school balls everywhere in Newtown. Fortunately.
Well, what are school balls?
Fancy dress balls.
And for that, kids?
For kids.
Yeah.
And that aunt that was in there, and that we devised it. There were so many kids in the family, as my mother had four sisters and two brothers, and they devised these sets. And we had the Eastern set and the Water Lily set. And because my mother was very clever, and so was my grandmother, they devised this Eastern set and beaded it. And then wherever we went, we won the prizes. And that, but the funniest coincidence was when I was in Australia Street School, they had this school concert and there was a nursery rhyme the teacher put to music, Three Little Mice on a Pantry Shelf. And I was one of the mice because my mother wanted to make me look better than anyone else and my tail was longer than everyone, with the result I fell into the audience. My uncle thought it was hilarious, but my mother was very annoyed. But she had me taught ballet, but I had to give that away. I
Why'd you have to give it up?
I got pneumonia twice. And my mother was scared of that because prior to I was born, she'd lost two children in 2 days. So I was the third child, really. And then I learnt ballet off Chrissy Royal in Annandale, and I learnt tap dancing for a while at Lillian Skinner's in King Street, Newtown. But we gave that all up because economic reasons in that time. But
what happened to your the two children before you? What did they die of?
Nobody really knows, but we really think. When I was born, my mother had the pneumonic flu, which was raging from 1918-19. And they seem to think that Vera and Georgie might have contacted that. And as they buried Vera, Georgie died. So she lost the two of them within 2 days. So maybe that was the reason why she was a little bit bitter at times. But we had some good memories in Newtown. My grandma's kitchen, we had relatives over in North Shore, and they used to come over and play cards every Saturday night. And Grandma would cook and cook and cook, and in one episode they must have been playing sevens, because every time then all us kids were relegated to the kitchen. And one of these times they were playing this game, they said, "Oh, take a piece of cake." And of course, we kids thought that meant take a piece of cake, so we had the cake. Oh, of course, we all got into trouble over the cake. But one of my fondest memories was the council picnics. Mm-hmm. All the unions and the councils used to have picnics once a year, and they'd be ferry picnics to Clifton Gardens. And Clifton Gardens then had sergeants, and it had a big dance hall called Dixieland. And that's not there no more. But you went to Circular Quay by tram, and you picked up the ferry, you went over to the wharf, and when you got off the ferry, you got an apple and an orange and a bag of lollies and a small toy. All the girls got the same, all the boys got the same. And vouchers for ice cream, which, oh, that was a children's delight, and hot water and ginger beer. Well, the ginger beer, it was not like it is now. My version of that ginger beer was soap suds with salt and pepper in it. But they used to have Highland dancing and races, and, of course, the mums and dads did ballroom dancing and danced in the hall, in the Dixieland. That's where I first learned to do other dancing, ballroom dancing. But they were lovely. You know, all the kids in the school that went to we were always sick, you know, and that was the day we took off. But they were lovely days, those. And unfortunately, they don't have those for children no more.
No.
There's lots of things that we had, which didn't cost us anything. Mm. But the children of today don't get it, and I think they've lost the fairy tale part of life, I think, the children of today. All the shop windows in the city would be lights and that, and pantomimes were the go, and every year there was pantomimes, and the shop windows would be either based on Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella, Grace Brothers. Used to have caves, Mark Foy's used to have caves and things on the roof, and that's now the Downing Centre. And McDowell's and McCarthy's and the whole lot, Horden's, they all had something. Davy Jones, and you'd spend a whole day just walking around looking at windows, and children, even the poor children, got delight. Mm. But when I was about 12, when the Depression hit us, we didn't have much. None of us had much.
What kind of a place was Erskineville for kids in the late 1920s? You'd remember what, from 1925 on, pretty well, wouldn't you?
In the late years.
Yeah.
About 8 years old I was when I went there and further up. Well, yeah. The kids, we used to play rounders and we'd play cricket and that. We'd have the Rabbit used to come down the street, the baker and the butcher and the prop man. And that, and the man selling the wood and wooden coal and the bottle-o. We had all those things. You didn't get your milk in cartons or bottles. You had to go out with a milk jug to get your milk. Mm. And that, and they poured out a container on the back of a horse-drawn vehicle. Mm. We had a very good priest at the Catholic Church in Erskineville. I never remember the name of that. But he was magnificent. He used to, Father Holland, He used to ride around on a motorbike and give kids rides on a motorbike. Always had an apple for somebody. And the deaconess at Holy Trinity was Sister Ray. And that. But I first started going to Sunday school at the Sydney City Mission in Gowrie Street, Newtown, which runs in alignment with Union Street. But I don't think they bothered much. We all suffered the same. They played Knockdown Ginger. Do you know what that is? They played that, and my mother used to get real frustrated.
How would you describe your family? You know, if your parents, what sort of people were your parents?
Just plain working class people.
Did your mum work outside the home?
I remember before my brother Kenneth was born, my mother used to be missing a couple of times a year, but she used to go and work in the cannery, in the IXL cannery in Forbes Street, Newtown, in the Oakleaf cannery down in Camperdown. And I think she did that to boost the money and that. But Dad was earning enough to keep us then, you see, and that. But Mum was a very stern, straight lady. What would they call it now? Straight up lady. And that. And her views were right, always right. And that. And Dad, I think Dad would do anything to keep Flo happy.
Right. Were your parents religious?
No, not that religious. They believed in children going to Sunday school.
What denomination?
Church of England.
Yeah. Were they politically involved?
No, I never heard them be political. Of course, they used to say that they vote for Labor, always did. But Mum used to work and do some work for the United Charities at times. And that outside Newtown Town Hall on the chocolate wheel they used to have. But I never heard them talk. Talked about things like that. It was a case of little children should be seen and not heard, and you didn't listen to that conversation. Yeah. And my grandfather Thomas, my father's father, was a very strict man. But my mother's father, he was a pet. There was nothing wrong with my grandfather Thomas. It was just that he was a bit autocratic.
Was your father ever involved in any union activities at his work?
Don't think so.
Okay. Well, what sort of discipline was used at home if you hadn't been...
Very firm.
And what does that mean?
Well, if you... it meant my mother wasn't adverse to giving you a good hard smack what she thought you deserved.
And who usually administered the discipline?
My mother.
Okay. Were you expected to contribute towards the family in any way? Some kids had jobs selling papers or collecting bottles or things like that. Did you have to do anything?
No.
What about helping with domestic work at home?
Oh, I had that to do.
Well, what would you do?
I had to do the dusting and I had to wash up the dishes and that. I used to have to light the fire for the copper. We had to light the copper to get the hot water to have a bath.
How often would you have a bath?
About four times a week, three times a week. But let me tell you, someone got in the bath and then they had to get out very quick so somebody else could get in there.
While it was still hot?
Yes, that's right.
Well, what did the family do for fun?
Well, sometimes we went with the families for a picnic. As I said, my mother had, I think my uncle had a lorry. He was a carter for the commission agents at the markets, at Paddy's Market, the fruit and vegetable markets. And sometimes he'd take us, he did take us a couple of times, until he got into trouble, on railway seats on the back of the truck, and we'd go to different picnic areas. And the ones that had cars, the different ones, they had they took us, you know. It will be a family event. And those that didn't, wherever you went, some of the picnic places we went to was Cars Park, Dolls Point, Palm Beach. In those days you had to go what they call the Serpentine Drive to go to Palm Beach. They didn't have that pit water road then. And National Park, the long way round. So really, then, but when in my school years, my grandma used to rent holiday cottages and take us away in the school holidays. So in the school holidays, I guess I was more fortunate than some kids. Nana used to take us, different, the grandchildren with her. Mm. And I'd always be missing because I was the one that read the lot.
Oh, yes.
I love to read.
What were your favourite authors?
Well, I used to win prizes and they'd always be books.
Mm.
And that I read all the Katydids and the Alice books and my Bible. I read that a couple of times. And Pilgrim's Progress. I read my mother's Pears Cyclopedia, which I've got. That's why I was able to debate with one of the teachers the War of the Roses. And that, and I was never able to sew. I wasn't very good at sewing.
And were you expected to be in those days? Were little girls expected to be good at sewing?
Well, I didn't have to do it. My grandma, what she ever did, she bought everything in flour in bags, like flour bags, and they came in calico bags then, and that unbleached calico. And what my grandmother did with those calico bags, nobody needs. No. I had aprons that was embroidered and had frills on them out of calico. I also had pants made out of calico with lace around them. She made pillow slips with them. She made centres. And they tried very hard to teach me to fancy work. But she gave me the cottons and that, and that's how I come to have a row with the sewing teacher when I was in second year at school, because I told her that my parents only had the money to pay rent, not to buy material for her to make a mess of. I was very... very forthright child. I used to say what I think, and it used to get me into trouble a lot. It even does even now.
Yeah. What would be a typical evening like at your home? What would you do in the evening?
Well, normally it'd be just Mum and Dad would be talking, or they might read the papers. And they'd be this Herald, the Sydney Morning Herald, or Smith's Weekly if you wanted to read it. Beckett's Budget they had, but that never ever hit our house. That was taboo.
Why was that?
Oh, that was a bit risque at that time.
Beckett's Budget?
Hmm.
Ah. Was it like The Truth or something?
And The Truth. I was a bit more I think that was the one that showed women's curves more than they did, because those days, you know, your skirt went so long and that you didn't... My father, I was never allowed to wear shorts. Mm. Never allowed to wear them. And I'd read.
Yeah. And you've said your mum controlled the family finances.
That's
and
right.
Paid the rent and the bills.
That's right.
Did your dad like his work?
Yes.
And that was local, wasn't it?
Yes, he did. Dad put a lot of effort into his work. It didn't matter what he did. Although when he used to do the show cards in the Depression years, we used to get old magazines and cut our pictures, and we'd be sitting cutting the pictures out for Mum to stick them on like tomatoes. It'd be, "Please don't squeeze me till I'm yours." And refusal, don't ask for credit, because a refusal often offends.
Mm.
And all those different things.
Well, did your father in the Depression Did he lose his job at McMahon's, did he?
Yes.
Oh, gee. Did they put off all their workers? I mean, did they shut down or did they recover?
I don't know.
Well, how did the depression, what sort of effect did it have on your family life?
I think, like everybody else, it was a very, very hard time for lots of people. Very hard. If it hadn't have been for some of the agencies, well, I wouldn't say agency, some of the churches and that, a lot of people would have been worse off.
Did your dad go to the First World War?
My father never went to any war.
Okay. How would you describe your mother's working day?
My mother's working day?
Yeah. How would that start?
Well, I think she used to be gone before I got up. Well, I'd get up and have breakfast and then Mum would go. But then she didn't go to work for, when she gave that up, and when she had Ken and then she had Ron, I think she did a bit of sewing to supplement the income. She was very clever. She was very good doing crochet work. I wouldn't say she was a very good knitter, but she was very good with her hands other than that. She could sew and make dresses and things for people. And I think, but my mother never, you never knew what my mother was doing. That she, if she was sewing and to make money, you didn't know that she was doing it for that. She never discussed anything like that with me. I was always taught it's got nothing to do with you. Believe you and me, I was 13 year old before I knew. When my brother was born, both my brothers, I thought the midwife brought the baby in the bag.
Oh,
that's how backward. My mother never believed in telling anybody like things like that.
So did you get any sex education at all?
Not from my mother.
So what happened when you started to menstruate? What did you think was going on?
She told me then. Well, and her exact words was, in those days, you use barber's towels, as they call them, smaller than hand towels, a bit bigger than a face washer. And you got a piece of elastic, two pins and a barber towel. And she put a bundle of them and say, use these, one every day, and keep away from boys. And that was your sex education.
Gosh.
I never knew why I had to keep away from boys.
And what that had to do with it.
I found out later in life.
Would you describe her as a happy woman?
At times.
What about your dad?
Dad was a man. How do I describe him? He was the same height, same weight all his life. He only took a size 5 shoe. I remember in the dull years they found out that the men were getting boots. So Mum went down the wharf where they were giving them out and asked for a pair of shoes, boots for Dad. And they said, what size? And she said, 5. And they said, we're giving, what was it? It's got Blucher boots here, lady. They're for wharfies, not for ants. Not for ants, that's right, not for ants. Because he was a very small man. And that a man that never said much. She practically had to draw the words out of him. Very proud of his children, but in a very quiet way. I think between my mother and my grandfather, my father was dominated in a way.
Did your grandparents live with you?
No. As I said, my father was the only son. And he had three sisters I knew of. And that, and Dad, we'd go to see Grandfather Thomas. And he'd, what grandfather said, and as I said, do not speak till you're spoken to. And that's what it was. And that included Dad. And that, so, but I think in his way, he loved us. And that, and he was a very talented man. I think that hurt him, you know, that his talents, was that he couldn't, never had the money, because he could paint too if he wanted to.
Did he ever paint?
He painted a picture once, which I gave to one of my family, and they lost. And I was very annoyed about it.
Mm.
But he loved to fish.
Yeah.
Him and my other granddad.
Yeah. At home, was your mother responsible for all the domestic work, cooking, cleaning, washing
That's
up?
That's right.
Did your dad help at all?
No, only me.
Okay. And did they have any domestic appliances in those days to make housework easier? Oh, I never know.
Well, you want to know how I iron my clothes?
Yeah.
With a flat iron.
Right.
You put it on the fuel stove or the gas stove, the gas ring, heated it up, and then you had a piece of cloth, and then you rubbed it on a piece of paper that had either candle grease on it or thing, and you did your ironing with that. Could you try ironing an organdy evening frock with frills with it?
Pretty hard.
Well, we did it.
Yeah.
It was a case of do or not do.
Yeah. Who were your friends when you were growing up in Newtown and Erskineville?
Oh, I had some friends, school and church. Mainly, I was such a bookworm. So,
do you have a special place in your backyard where you would
read? Down the backyard, and if I went, Grandma took me away, she'd ask them, where's Laurie? And they'd say, we don't know, is the book on beside the bed? Yeah, well, go find a tree and you'll find her sitting under it. And I'd be down by the water because I'd love to live by the water.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you ever go swimming when you were on holidays and near the water? Was it?
I couldn't swim. I still can't.
Well,
I used to fish.
Oh, I see.
Or go looking for oysters.
Yeah. Mm. When you were playing with your friends in the street, did you play in the street or?
We had to.
Yeah.
Because we weren't allowed to walk down to the park.
Was that a long way away?
No. Yes, it was a fair way away.
Well, what would you do with your friends for fun?
Oh, we'd play cricket or we'd have imaginary concerts and that. And we'd have, because we always had to keep down this end away from up near the pub. We had to come down this end.
What was the local pub called?
The Imperial.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what it is now.
Okay. Well, how free were you to roam around the area?
Not very free, not me.
Right.
And my mother, even when it didn't matter, right up till I got married, wherever I was going, I had to tell my mother where I was going and approximately what time I was expected home. Because I had to go to choir practice a couple of times a week and different things when I got older. When I started going to, I was going to Sunday school from the time I turned 8.
Hmm. Well, what sort of things would you do for fun with your friends? I mean, you played cricket and other games in the street.
Played rounders and skipping and throwing the bottle tops, very few bottle tops.
Hmm. Were they playing
stones, little stones, flat stones, played jacks and that. Some of them I could master, some of them I couldn't.
Were there places that you weren't allowed to go?
Yes, lots of places. Some of the people's houses I wasn't allowed to go to.
Why was that?
Well, my mother had different ideas of people, you know. She had her friends and I was only allowed to go to the people's places that she knew.
Mm.
Wasn't allowed to go anywhere else.
Right.
Very strict lady at times.
Mm. Were there people that you particularly had to avoid?
I didn't avoid anybody if I could get away with it without my mother finding out. Except one old biddy that lived in the street that knew what was going on 24 hours a day.
Yeah. What was school like? Did you like school?
Yes, I liked school.
How did the teachers treat you? What was the discipline like?
Oh, some of it was funny. There used to be one teacher there. She was there when my aunties went to school. Her name was Miss Ferguson, really too, but no relation to us. But she had a wig. She came to girl one day and the wig fell off. That was quite funny. We used to have Empire Day and Arbor Day. We all belonged to the Gould Society for Birds and Animals. We formed the Red Cross, the Junior Red Cross.
Mm.
To get that, it was when I was in first class, first year, seventh class it was then, where I ran a concert, Penny Inn.
Mm.
And to do that, what we wanted for that was to get the cardboard and the red felt to make the crosses on the little girls' veils. I think you guess what my veil was made out of, unbleached calico.
Yeah.
How
did you celebrate Wattle Day and Arbor Day?
Oh, well, we used to have to sing songs, and one was Golden Wattle, Kiss Your Eyes, and it was more like a lullaby we always had them out in the hall, out in the schoolyard, because we didn't have an assembly hall at Newtown. Oh, we used to have some little things that we'd go over to the lower hall of St George's Hall and have things in there. But we had Empire Day, which was the flags and all that, and we used to have to sing God Save the King, you know, and that and all that business. We had that, and we had sports and things like that, and races.
Did you ever do physical culture?
Well, they didn't call it physical culture, dear. They called it eurythmics.
Ah.
A lot of waving of the hand, something like Tai Chi and that.
Yeah, and did they ever get masses of kids from all different schools together and to do it all in order? Yeah, like everyone do it together?
No, not that I remember. We might have got a local school, like Erskineville, or maybe North Newtown School, but we never got it. I don't remember any other school.
Do you know what it was meant to achieve?
To achieve was try to get the best out of what you could do.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever do maypole dancing?
Yes, we had that once.
Did you like it?
I wasn't in it.
Did you have crack a night?
Yes.
Mm. How did you celebrate that? I mean, what did you do?
Oh, well, we used to go to Grandma's for that.
Yeah?
Ferguson's for that.
Did you buy lots of crackers?
Oh, they used to buy them and we shared with them.
Mm.
And they used to have Catherine Whirls and put a bunger in a tin and make a heck of a noise. I used to remember once at cracker night we didn't go and somebody put a bunger in our letterbox. And they used to have what they call the Tom Thumbs. They'd light one end and think, oh, some of the kids in Union Street were pretty rough, and we had a Chinese family up the top, and they put all the crackers in their place one day. No, they all ran out, you know. It was a horrible thing to do, but we thought it was funny at the time. We were just kids.
Hmm. What was the ethnic mix of the neighbourhood at that time?
Well, it was the Lumptins up the top.
What was the name, sorry?
Lumptin.
Yeah.
And then there was the rest was Australian. There was a few Italian, but down further. I know the people that had the shop on the corner of Union Street and Harold Street, the grocery shop there, they were Jewish people, but they were lovely people.
Mm.
I didn't. My mother and we had a few darkish people, but my mother, we had a gymnasium in our street too, Moss's Gymnasium. That was for fighters. And he didn't do, not to do aerobics or anything, that was for fighters then. I had a pool hall with it. I wasn't allowed down that end of the street near then.
Was that a den of iniquity, was it?
Well, according to my mother, it was.
You know. Look, you know, before we actually, we were talking a bit about sex education, were you aware of abortions at that time or unwanted pregnancies and what would happen? Or can you remember how people would deal with that situation?
No, I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know anything about that till about 1940. No, I didn't. I beg your pardon, I do know. I couldn't understand it, but it was a deep, dark secret in the family. A relation of my mother's came, and all of a sudden my grandma acquired another child, June, and we always was told it was so-and-so's child, and Nana was rearing her. Well, Nana reared her all her life. And it came out later, when I was much older, much married, what really happened is that she'd had the child and he was a married man and she was working in service and she'd had the child in the South Sydney Women's Hospital in Gilburn Street, Newtown. And there, that was a home for unmarried mothers. That's where the midwives came from to went out into the houses. And Nana read June, and that was why, because if Nana hadn't taken June, that she'd have been doctored out by somebody else and nobody would have known where she went. But as a child, no, I didn't know anything about it. Used to think it was strange that women would be a bit on the fat side and then a couple of days later they'd be slim and there'd be nothing out to show for it and you'd wonder what happened. You know, I think, well, gee, that's bad, you know. And I never told anything. I guess I was a dumb Dora. I really was.
Yeah, you wonder sort of how... Where did you think children came from?
As I said, I thought the midwife brought them in the bag until my aunt told me. Your mother had the baby, Laurie, and I said again, oh, was that why she was getting all those white toweling squares and the Lysol and why we weren't allowed there and that. And so I sort of worked it out, but I was never going to broach the subject to my mother, never. And I might tell you this, that when I had my eldest son in 1940, I didn't know how he was going to be born.
You didn't?
No, and I was 21.
And didn't somebody tell you at some...
I was 21 in the July. The sister told me, because I yelled out for my husband, and she said, he can't help you, only you can help himself. Mm. And she told me then, and that's when I got a very quick, fast lesson in sex education.
Oh, gee.
I don't think many of the girls, except the very wise ones from some of the families that my mother considered beneath us, maybe they were more wiser than some of us others.
Hmm. Mm. Almost, it seems like ignorance was associated with
ignorance,
goodness.
Yes. They thought they were doing the right thing instead of that they were doing a very harmful thing.
Yeah. Mm. Well, how would you describe the neighbourhood? What was Newtown and Erskineville like? You know, was it residential or industrial or mixed?
It was mixed. Well, mainly, it was Newtown, King Street, Newtown was a large shopping centre, still is, but there were Sweet Brothers there and Hattie's Arcade and Brennan's and a lot of, a few shoe shop, Gardner's shoe shop. One, the jewellery shop is still there to this day, Woods's.
What was Brennan's? What was it?
Brennan's was a store that carried... merchandise. It carried haberdashery, Manchester, ladies' clothes, shoes, and downstairs it had hardware. Mm.
And what was the social focus of the area when you were growing up? Was there a place, a pub or a corner shop or a place where people met and talked?
I think they mainly met at church or something like that, or dance at St George's Hall or Newtown Town Hall, and the picture shows, which was the old hub, which was, before it was converted to pictures, was a vaudeville theatre. And then there was the Enmore Theatre, which is up in Enmore Road, which is now used where they've had Wagga-rama. There was the Majestic Theatre on the corner of Wilson Street and Erskineville Road, which turned out to be the Elizabethan Theatre and then got burnt down.
Did you go to the theatre or the pictures very much?
Yes, we used to go to the shows there sometimes. My mother would take us then. I remember Stiffy and Roy Reen and that. I remember George Edwards. George with the big funny eyes. I forget what his name was. But I had then. I know that my aunt won a black bottom contest at the Hub one time.
What's that mean?
Oh, well, that was when the Charleston was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
That's that one over there. She made herself a costume. Well, she was 7 years older than me. She made herself this costume out of black satin and with all black spangles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she got up and did and a top hat. And it was like a small adaptation of a dinner suit with the tails and all. And she won the prize. Then she came out in a frilly dress, did the Charleston and won that prize. So she was very, very good. We used to that and the Tivoli, because we used to all go to pantomimes at the Tivoli. Mm. Mum used to save up for those and that, or Grandma used to take us to those.
Mm. Was it a safe neighbourhood?
Oh, I've forgotten. There was the old Victory Theatre in Erskineville Road, which is now the Police Boys Club. Yes, I'd say it was a safe neighbourhood.
Hmm. Can you remember any local crims?
Well, one time my mother reckoned we had Kate Leese visited us in Union Street, a place opposite. I don't know whether that was true or not. If there was any crims around there was the rough lot, as my mother used to call them. The mobs, they'd have a fight. They'd go in the pub to have a drink and somebody would say the wrong thing and then you'd find Dooley's mob or McLaughlin's mob fighting, having a brawl out in the street. The funny part about it was that if a woman come around the corner from Erskine Road with a pram, they'd stop and let her go through and then they'd start the fight all over again.
Oh, gosh.
But if Father Holland come round, they stopped, all stopped. And they all ran inside to the pub because they thought Father Holland was going to convert them.
Oh, gee. Was he a Catholic priest?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had no distinction.
All right.
He didn't care whether you was a Catholic, Church of England, black, blue or brindle. He was a proper priest.
Yeah. And was there any prostitution in the area?
There was. It was well undercover.
Okay. What were the most popular newspapers?
Well, there was the Truth. And there was the Herald, and there was the Smith's Weekly, and for those that wanted it, there was Beckett's Budget.
Right. What can you remember were the big issues of the time? What were the big issues?
Most issues of the time of mine was the Depression and people being forced out of their houses in Happy Valley. Another issue was... When they started to build a bridge, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Oh, yes.
And that, and Jack Lang, and of course De Groot getting in before he could cut, Jack Lang could cut the ribbons. I marched over the Sydney Harbour Bridge with the kids from all the schools we formed up in George Street, marched right across the bridge, then turned around about face, marched back again.
Gee.
And they did have a big centenary parade and that. I remember that they had the opening of the bridge. We were standing on Sydney Town Hall, one of them, and near Sydney Town Hall watching them, and they had floats. And Newtown's float was blue and white, and all the girls had big picture hats and big flowing dresses. They look like senoritas more than they look like.
Let's see. Well, what did your family think of Lang, the politicians of the day? You know, who can you remember them talking about?
Oh, they used to talk about Jack Lang, but I don't remember them talking about anything else.
And what did they think of Lang?
Well, I think in politics in our house was never discussed. If my father wanted to talk about it, my mother would say, not before the children.
Right.
See? Okay. Not before the children. That's what it was.
What places in Newtown and Erskineville are still special and important to you now from your childhood association with it?
Well, Holy Trinity Church, because that's where I was christened and confirmed, my confirmation photo. And because I made some fine friends, I made one fine friend, and we renewed that association when I joined the pensioners down here. Sadly, she now has Alzheimer's and she's living at her daughter's place. St George's Hall in Newtown, where I danced, where I met my husband. Newtown School will always hold a fond memory to me because I think I had happy days there when I was not allowed. We had lovely headmistresses there. We had Zilla Bocking was there, and then Miss Aston, and that, and a couple of the teachers was very, very nice. I remember Sweet's brother's shop and that, walking up and down Newtown and that. You could walk up and down Newtown any night in the week and you'd never get hurt. I've come home down Erskineville Road into Union Street and over night time. Funny thing, I'd walk down Erskineville Road, I wouldn't walk down Newman Street and that, and the tannery. I don't say I had a fond memory of the tannery. We did have a markets in Newtown, which we're now Franklin's and that now. But I've got very fond memories. I never ever say to anybody that I grew up in any other suburb. Mm. I'll always tell them I was born in Newtown and reared in Erskineville.
Mm. And what was the reputation of the area? Was Newtown and Erskineville
considered rough?
Right.
Although there was parts of Erskineville, which are very nice, and parts of it still are parts, I'm surprised to see in one of the newspapers, where people are paying $300,000 for houses, which must be up well over older than I am.
Mm. Was it considered a better neighbourhood or a worse one than Redfern or Waterloo or Chippendale or other places?
Well, I used to say Redfern, Waterloo was rough. You know, and Darlinghurst was rough at the time. Although there's some parts of Darlinghurst which is absolutely beautiful, some parts, the homes there. Mm. But the point is there's good and bad wherever you go.
Mm. Yeah. What smells can you remember from when you were growing up?
The tannery in Newman Street, Newtown.
Was it good?
Stunk to high heaven. And the tip that we used to cross over and think over the river when we used to jump over the goods train line, I think when we went right round the border of the Kingswood Smith Aerodrome, which you wouldn't be able to do now, of course, when we used to go swimming. While we did that, we used to only have enough money for our fare home and the train.
Mm. And where would you go swimming out there near the
airport? Kyung.
And what was that? Is that in Botany Bay, is it?
Mm.
What can you remember of the establishment of the airport and how that?
Remember Amy Johnson coming there,
yeah.
And they gave her a diamond brooch,
mm-hmm.
And that the airport grew like Topsy. You really, my ideas is that you cannot blame the governments now for the airport. What they should have done was blame the former governments that didn't have the foresight to know that aviation was going to be bigger than what they thought it was going to be and make allowances for it.
Mm.
And that, because that, nobody knew then we'd be having jets to the class that they have now. We used to have Smithy's plane. Oh, that was marvellous.
Did you ever go out to the airport when people like that were known to be landing?
No.
No. Did you have a bike or anything as a kid and go out there?
No.
Did you have any toys?
I had a doll. Cousin pushed me down the steps and broke it.
Oh.
I had a rag doll. I had a teddy bear. I had my books.
Yeah.
I had a paint box. I wasn't very much good at that.
Did your father try and teach you to paint?
Tried very hard.
Right.
And that, and my brother had a billy card. I wasn't allowed to ride, and it wasn't ladylike.
Oh gosh! It sounds like you had a pretty traditional upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
What was your happiest memory?
Sunday school picnics.
Yeah.
And Sunday school lantern slides. My happiest memories was always with my mother's family. My mother couldn't understand that. My grandfather Ferguson used to be a watchman at Everly, and we, Dad and my, it's strange that a son-in-law and a father-in-law could get on so well as what my father and my mother's father got on, but Pop, Grandfather Ferguson, he always had licorice in his pocket, and we always had licorice. I'd always get into trouble for it, eating it, but you could always talk to him. They'd go fishing and I'd be sitting in the boat reading a book with a hand line and that. There's lots of little things. There's nothing really big. I remember once when I was at church and we had a Christmas thing, a Christmas service, and of course I was in the choir and I had to go, all the rest of the family went for a picnic down Stewart's Park at Wollongong. And I had to go after church all the way down to Wollongong, dressed up in my best bib and tucker, looking absolutely ridiculous in white shoes, stockings and gloves, which had to go out then, those gloves, handbag and a picture hat. And that down there, because my mother said so.
Oh, dear.
And they brought me back. I only had me ticket thing that there was a lot, and seeing Firefly with Jeanette MacDonald and Alan Jones in the Yale Victory Theatre. I don't think I've told you, sometimes we in the Depression years things would be that tough, and at Christmas time you'd the local butcher around about Mr. Woodham on the corner of Rochford Street. If you saved up the tickets, that price of the tickets, each ticket, that saved them up once a year, you used to pull out the numbers. And if you were lucky, everybody tried to get this big Christmas stocking. And I remember one year I won a little tiny doll, a Cupid doll, and a ball. And I thought I was Christmas. Another time I got a spanking because I lost a halfpenny.
Times are tough.
Times were tough.
Okay. I think I've asked you just about everything that I can think
of. I've talked a lot, haven't I?
No.
Too much.
Is there anything else you wanted to say? No, it's been wonderful.
Newtown. I'm glad to see that Newtown's getting some recognition. My grandfather told me never to be ashamed of Newtown Girl, because at one stage people there had carriage and pairs. And the wealthy lived in Newtown. Up in Albemarle Street, a Dr. Katie Ardle Bryce was there, and there was this immense house. I don't know whether it's still there. And that's called Albemarle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lovely place. I used to like to wander around, look. I still like old buildings. Wander around and look at things.
Mm.
And that, but Newtown will always have a special place in my heart.
Okay.
We moved from Newtown to Marrickville. It was never quite the same.
Okay. Thank you.